friends, here's what I don't understand. For everyone and then, for eating friends. Your name somehow I can't recall right now, but no, you're all I found. For eating friends. Yes, that's one. When time is done, the tears that he, when stars that he, on a thousand ways away to Rachel, I know you and I do. For eating friends. Up and turn the lights down low. You're out there, get home, saving friends. We're on the air, just like cousins, you know. He speaks up there, and I'll call you my friend. The music starts, the curtain parts, an hour of fun for everyone. Although it's true, I cannot see you. I almost feel like you. Saving friends. Here it is, Saturday night again, and it's a pleasure to welcome you to Stars of Polar Fall. And I know you're going to enjoy the show tonight because we have another great show. Listen, the music we have just begun in his office. Come on down here to tell us a quote, set a look at her. Don't bother him, you know? First, if they came to Hollywood, it's ready from stepping out. He stayed in a swell hotel, everything was very best. Well, good, yes. I'll be right over. And I was just about to hang up when he said, oh, by the way, Al, you haven't got any string, have you? Well, no English, and I'm sure that I'll bring some gin. And I was about to hang up again when he said, Al, I seem to be out of lemons, too. So I said, all right, Victor, I'll bring the lemons. He said, look, Al, on your way over, you pass the little grocery store. Stop in there, Lou, and pick up a couple of pounds of ice. I said, look, Victor, why don't you come over to my house? I won't have to carry all that stuff. He said, no, Al, this is my treat. Well, when I got over here, I needed a surprise. Yet it was beautiful room you had to call with two beds in it. I said, Victor, this is a nice room, but why the extravagance? Why do you need two beds for? He said, hey, the rest of the office has got to sleep someplace. And now, for singing and dancing, we have a little margarine here. Come on out here, darling, and take a bow. Marjorie drinks with her lady, Ruby to her sibling. She's grown up now, but I must tell you about the time a few years ago when I was calling her sister Ruby. Marjorie's only about 8 years old then. I happened to be at her house one day, you know, they have meat. And I heard her mother say, Marjorie, the cook tells me that you've been a bad girl today. I want to go right up to her room like a good little girl and give the cook a kiss. Marjorie looked at her mother and said, what? Is it a slap in the face like Papa did? For comedy, we have lots to eat. Come on out here, Russell. Russell, you know, ladies and gentlemen, famous on the stage and famous on the way he's covered. I remember a few years ago when he played the part of a lieutenant in the Navy. He was given orders to the crew in a morning drill. Russell yells, forward, and folks, you wouldn't believe it, before the day hard, 6 men fell over. How do you like that? But now we tonight we have another Russell, one of the greatest choirs in the United States and in the world, for that matter. Come out here, Russell Turner. And for drama tonight, we have that beautiful star of the stage and screen, Mr. Wallace Del Rio. Russell Crowe, Mr. Del Rio. I know the folks here in South Dakota would like to see what a beauty off the screen is like. But I must tell you right here what happened to Miss Del Rio's last one about his kitchen. Miss Del Rio, just a little secret, played the part of a Mexican señorita who was madly in love with a gay caballero. And love. But he brings all his love for a girl named Molly. This made Miss Del Rio very, very angry. And you couldn't blame her, after all. He was silly to Del Rio and hot to Molly. And now, folks, if you don't mind, what do you think has come over me? Oh, I can't stand it. I see a song coming on. Get out.
I remember my days of solitude when it was hardly a dream. When my heartbeat was not requiring a great inspiring scene. But today my heart belongs
The big week of the year in aviation. The week of the National Air Races in Cleveland, Ohio. All the various flags of the Federal Reserve competing for the Thompson Street Trophy, the Phoenix Trophy for the Transcontinental Race, and other famous awards. There is one flag at all who is my favorite, and everybody's favorite for that matter, to win both the big races in the meet. And he's a favorite because, well, he won the first before. His name is Russell Burr. He's the holder of more speed flying records than any pilot in the world. Only yesterday, he broke all existing records in a flight from Los Angeles to San Francisco. Flying to San Francisco and back to Los Angeles in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Well, we're mighty glad and proud to welcome him to South Dakota tonight. Colonel Russell Burr.
Thank you, Al. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute, I suppose. Wait a minute. Before you came to the folks here, I want to ask you something. I've been looking you over. That uniform you're wearing. Oh, boy. That thing is a beauty. Tell me. I'm a little convinced that this thing is funny. Is that the National Guard uniform?
No, Al. This is my own uniform. Tom Mix and I are the only men in the world that design our own uniform.
Yes? Well, did you sit up nice or something to design it, really?
Well, Al, you see, several years ago, I was in Albany, New York. Cornell Smith was from another state. Yeah. I went to call on him. Well, they wouldn't let me in.
Why?
Well, they thought I wasn't anybody.
Oh, well, go on, sir. I guess it.
Well, Al, I went down to New York and got me a tailor, and I told him. I said, son, I want you to make me the doggiest uniform anybody ever saw. And this little creation is what they turned out.
And, sir, it is doggy. It certainly is doggy. And, just a honey,
sir. Just a honey. Yes, as soon as it was finished, I went back to Albany, and believe me, the trooper fell over himself, rushing me into the
government. If I thought of the back then, I'd run away. Well, Colonel, where the ladies are, I want to tell you one thing. This beautiful uniform, red boots, blue coat, and diamond studded wings, this officer isn't coming up any fully. No, sir, this man turned into a real flyer. He's the world's fastest flyer, and he's the world's safest flyer, too. What's the name of the flying pilot, Steve or Stacy?
Steve and Stacy, every time. I never take chances, Al. I've been flying 17 years. But I've never had a serious crack-up. I've had to sit down a couple of times because of bad weather.
But, sir, what do you mean by sit down?
You know, the emergency landing.
Yeah.
But I'd rather do that than to crack-up or bail out. I'm really convinced, Al, that I'm safer in the air than I am driving my car on the ground.
Well, you and I have got our opinion. Maybe you're right, Colonel. Folks, this is the fellow that holds a transcontinental speed record both ways. In fact, I was talking to Rosso in last week. He tells me that his greatest thrill was breaking his own pass on the record last year. Is that right, Colonel?
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as a special warm-up for the air races next week, we have arranged to recreate to you the season, Colonel Schroeder's decorating flight of 1934. We switch you now to the Union Airport in Burbank, California. The date is September 1st, 1934. The time, 2:55 a.m.
Here we are, Julian Airport, folks. The Russell Center is warming up his seats for the takeoff, which will be in just a few moments.
It's almost 6 o'clock here. No signs of sunrise yet, no moon, and no floodlights on the field.
And here there's dozens of pictures celebrities, friends and flying pupils of Russell Center down here to see it all. Robert Montgomery, Jack Warner, Wallace Beery, and lots of others. Colonel Turner has one lamp words of Joe Nixon, the official starter and pilot, then climbs into his plane. Nixon raises his flight light for the 30-second signal. The men are standing by to pull the truck up from the wheel. The down the flight field.
Russell Turner is off on the first stop in an attempt to build his own transcontinental record of 10 hours and 5 minutes. Leaving Los Angeles at 3 a.m., that means he must be at Torrey Airport in New York by about 1 p.m. Los Angeles time. He's switching out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Okay, Albuquerque.
Colonel Russell Turner flew the 680 miles between Los Angeles and Albuquerque in 2 hours and 17 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. He's finished refueling his plane. Climbing into the cockpit now, the start for St. Louis, Missouri.
All set, Russell.
All set, Harry.
Contact.
Latest weather report for Cleveland area indicates severe thunderstorms and extremely heavy rain. We switch now to the regular announcement for the air races in Cleveland.
This is Cleveland, ladies and gentlemen. It is now a little after 2:30 Eastern time, and Colonel Turner must be in New York by about 4 o'clock to break the record, so he'd better get here pretty soon. I think I hear a plane now. It might be the Colonel. There's the plane, all right. It is Turner. He's coming in very low, just over the rooftop. He comes down fast. Yes, sir, he's landed. He's taxiing over here to the gasoline tank. Here he is. Welcome to Cleveland, Colonel. How was the last jump?
Terrible. I've never been through such a storm before. I don't know why the ship didn't fall apart.
150 gallons of gasoline, boys, and record traffic.
Okay.
Need some more, I do.
Okay.
How does it look for a new record, Colonel?
Out of this trying to figure. If I'm out here in 5 minutes, I can equal my old chief record. From Cleveland to New York, I'll miss the record by 4 minutes.
Boy, can't you make civil ascension a little faster?
Well, that's the turn, Marshal.
What's the matter with the oil?
Don't
fit. Don't fit. My order is fit. Don't you see the storm and the wind? I came through it. It's heading this way. You'll have to see it before I'm gassed up. You'll never get the gas tank filled.
Well, the devil might step on it.
Colonel Turner is getting a little edgy.
Well, who wouldn't with the record slipping away for the minute?
I know, boy, that storm will be here in just about 3 days.
So stop then.
Another! Well, the gas tank's full. They finished with the oil, too. And here's the storm! How he'll take off in this rain, I don't know. Hard to see a foot in front of you. It's so heavy. But he's starting. And it's the grand tank. Station on the one thing while it's doing very well.
Thanks for raising
that pilot and just jumped
under
the spot
of the city
and
went straight
in. He's off on a
city land, but he needs that fire takeoff. Colonel Turner looks pretty good at 2:51 Eastern time, folks. He's going to have to be about 280 miles an hour. But we'll have to do 330 for the next 400 miles if he's going to break the record. Well, if anybody can lose, Russell Turner's the man. But it looks tough. We're switching out of Floyd Bennett Field, New York.
Here we are at Floyd Bennett Field, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a big crowd here to see Colonel Russell Turner break the record. The signal was reported over Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania, a short time ago. And as near as we could figure from that, he's averaging about 330 miles an hour, so he's got a chance. It's now 1 minute past 4. He must be here in 4 minutes to find his own record, and in less than that to beat it. Mr. Hero Motor, there he is, it must be turning.
The official timer, Captain Johnsburg, was over to greet the turner.
Hello, Roscoe.
Hello, Ken.
Well, what's the joke?
Well, Roscoe, you broke your own record by exactly 3 minutes.
Oh.
Boy, I'm out of breath myself. Well, it's like 2500 o'clock to break the record by 3 minutes. Tell me, Colonel, you think you'll be able to break your own record again next Friday?
Well, I've got my fingers crossed, Al. Anyway, I'll keep the other boy company.
Ah, baloney. I thought a plane of yours yesterday, Rosco. If that little beauty don't break the record, then I'm crazy.
I hope you're right, Al.
Anyhow, I wish you lots of luck. And I'm sure all the folks here in Chelsea Hall and all over the United States will be pulling for you, too. Happy landing, Rosco.
Before we knew had a gasoline gauge 20 high. A gasoline gauge 20 high would just about reach to the top of your car. It would be an awful nuisance in some way, but it would be a great help in other ways. If a gasoline gauge is pretty fast, you'd be able to watch the gasoline go out of your tank. You'd find out some things about driving and gasoline that every motorist needs to know. You'd see right away that you use up gasoline the fastest when you're starting and when you're accelerating the motor. You've noticed that with many gasolines, you can use as much gas just starting and warming up the motor as it takes to go a whole mile on the open road. Then there'd be no mystery why you have to buy gas so often. You see, 4 out of every 5 miles you drive are stop and go, short trips around home. You're starting and accelerating almost all the time. But with a big gasoline gauge like that, you'd be able to quickly appreciate super care. You see, this new type gasoline is efficient for starting and accelerating, as well as for long, steady running. Supercell is the first truly balanced gasoline. It gives you a real saving on the stop-and-go driving you're doing most of the time. But prove it yourself. Try a tank full of Supercell soon, and notice how much longer it lasts you.
And now we're going to hear from the Love Acres in South Dakota. That's their greatest honor. I was talking to Jack's mother the other day, and she told me a funny thing about those kids. When Jack first met Peggy, he used to go down to the railroad station almost every evening. Just to say he couldn't stay there that hour until one night, he had to be there himself to meet some friends. He saw Peggy standing near the gate of a train that was about to leave. And all of a sudden, Jack left up and said Peggy goodbye. That sort of surprise was a thing because he didn't know Peggy was going anyplace. But a minute later, he said Jack didn't say goodbye at another gate. Well, here's the idea. The first year, they didn't have a car. They didn't have any lovers or anything like that. So that's how they spent their evening listening to each other goodbye at the railroad station. Well, it's an idea. Well, it must be enough, folks. And you can tell us who you love when you hear these kids sing Hurry Alone from the Vagabond King. That's Ben and Ben and
Thank you.
If you recall, ladies and gentlemen, when Eddie Gilson got the Bennett engagement at the Pleasant Hotel of Sanders, he introduced a young lady in a small show who was unknown to most of the celebrities attending the opening. But I knew her, and I wasn't one bit surprised when she said she did. Well, you know me, folks, as soon as there's a new star and anybody good, right away I bring her to show to go. And so tonight, I'm glad to introduce a 15-year-old girl who is Hollywood's latest find. She's Ruby Sheila's little sister, Marjorie. She's never been on the air before. But when she comes out, I want you to give her a big hand. But if she don't get it, I'll get her at home. Margie, come on. Now, get your last money. Don't get nervous. Take a deep breath. And just blame everything on me.
Yes, sir.
You feel all right?
Yes, sir.
First, tell me that she feels all right. She's full of blessings. So get her an eye full of heaven if you believe her.
Oh, those lips, oh, those eyes, oh, that beautiful hair. What a blessed thing you are. You must be our movie star. When you strike the sky, I was a little afraid. You must be an angel, so that day on the square. You are an apple of heaven. You're an awful of songs. You're a nipple of cheerful music. When you're in my arms, you're an apple of heaven. You're a vessel of wine. You're a jugful of hope, but you slip when you lift me high. And what is more, whenever I tell a fool, my heart goes creepity-pop. I'm on my feet and my pop.
In my family. Listen, that's all I need. Go home and go to bed. Get out of here. A few weeks ago, ladies and gentlemen, I sang a song for you, Best James Falsicole. A song written by probably one of the greatest songwriters
that ever lived. Stephen Foster. The title, Old Susanna. I'm glad to say you put the phone further with you because I've had a great many requests to sing it again. So if Victor will play it for me, I'll be happy to oblige. Old Susanna.
I came from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. I'm a grand Louisiana, my true love for the sea. It rained all night the day I left, the weather, it was dry. The sun so hot, I feel the death, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't look hard on me. I'm a cold Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Now, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I had a dream the other night when everything was still. I thought I saw Susanna a-coming down the hill. She put sweet fingers in her mouth, the tear went in her eyes. Says, I'm coming from the south, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with a banjo on my ear. Susanna, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my
and Carol Station men. Carol and Carol Isle, all right. Dear Mr. Dawson, you would be surprised at the number of transport trucks equipped with radio. These truckers driving regularly from Sioux City to Chicago now stop at my station and fill up with Super Shell. They tell me they get more mileage out of this gasoline and get a big kick out of your program. Keep up the good work. A Carol dealer in Maplewood, Missouri reports, no radio program is certainly bringing me results. Just tonight, two of my customers mentioned Shell Chateau. The second one said, now that I'm using Super Shell, I'm getting two more miles to the gallon. It's the same story from coast to coast. Everywhere people are trying this new type balanced gasoline. As those truck drivers between Sioux City and Chicago are finding, Super Shell gives better mileage on long trips. But here's the big point. Super Shell also gives you greater mileage on stop and go driving. The short trip you take around town. The kind of driving that makes up 80% of all the driving you do. Begin tomorrow to save money by using Super Shell. Get just a tankful of it. And then be careful to notice how much longer it is before you need to buy gas again.
If you sell our shelter folks in a battery shelter caravan. Tonight, representing the Lawrence L. Lowe, Roscoe Turner, Marjorie Keeler, Roscoe H., and Victor Leonard Judy. This trip they've come to Hollywood is turned into an injected bridge player. He plays bridge every night. Well, after all, why shouldn't he? Bridge is one game in the world where a dummy is important. The Marjorie is going to tell a medley of great tunes for you, written by America's most famous songwriter, Irving Berlin. Irving is written for your brother, hit. But the first complete score is done for motion picture is a score for Top Hat, starring Fred Astaire and Jim DeLodge. And these are the two Victor's going to take you now. It is his own arrangement. Sell out, Victor, and so Irving on the range, you I have. Thank you.
Thank you. next guest is one of the funniest fellows that ever worked in pictures. And that means a lot, because there are lots of funny people playing the picture today. But Roscoe Ace is also one of the friendliest men in a profession that's full of friendly people. I've known him a long time, and it's a pleasure to welcome him tonight to Tell the Show. Here he is, folks, with Barbara Ray, a famous current comedian, Roscoe Ace. Well, Roscoe, I'm glad to welcome you to Tell the Show.
Thanks,
Mr. Roscoe, there's something I know the folks would like to know about you. And I'd like to answer a question.
I should just go right ahead and ask them, Al.
Tell me, do you stutter all the time?
Only when I...
Al, what did you say the name of this place was?
The name of this place is Tell the Show.
What do you stutter say?
You know, that's how I'm afraid you're going to be late tonight.
Do you realize what time it is?
Ah, sure, I do. It's quarter.
Never mind. Before you can tell me, the show will be over.
Thanks, everyone, Al, for
Now, everybody be real quiet, please. Let the boy blue come blow your horn.
That's all right, honey, but it's a little bit too suggestive. Now, Miss Lacey, I'll do the recite.
Well, what am I doing?
Well, you just make suggestions. Now, you keep quiet, I'll show you how it's done, please. My first imitation of
you. Oh, Roscoe, that reminds me. I forgot to thank you for that lovely canary bird you sent me.
Oh, that's all right.
Although it did have a broken leg.
What do you mean it had a broken leg?
It just had a broken leg, that's all.
Well, it's a thing, isn't it?
Yes, it's a thing.
Well, that's just like the thing or that dancer.
Really, though, Roscoe, I just love birds. Me, I wish I had a lot of them.
All right, honey, tomorrow I'll send you over to the wee birds.
A wee bird. Well, what kind of a bird is a wee bird?
Well, a wee bird is a bird that flies down a hill on the tail and goes, woo!
Well, that's your dog over there, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Say, it's your pedigree.
Well, she did have a bird, but she outgrew it. Hey, you find one, maybe, and try out that bird back.
Oh, she's such a nice-looking dog. You take her all over
with you,
don't you?
Yeah, but I've been having a lot of trouble with her lately. You know, she won't eat, and she wants to sleep, and
well, what seems to be the trouble with her?
Oh, I don't know. I took her to see the Callaloo Wild the other night, and since she called Scott Davis, every time I talk to her, she wants to bite me.
Oh, the poor little doggy.
Oh, did you get along, little doggy? I mean, get along, little doggy, and let me alone.
Not so. You're so mean.
Honey, I was only kidding. Now, you stop crying and add to the broadcast. I'll take it for a nice young turkey dinner.
Oh, dear. I just love young turkeys. But, Doctor, how can you tell how old a turkey is?
Oh, by the teeth.
Certainly.
A turkey
hasn't any teeth.
No, but I have.
What time will we have dinner?
Well, I'll pick you up in 5 to 5 and
Well, that's
hard. Well, that's hard. You're able to buy them in a mile an hour. Even if I could just deal with the money on it.
Yes, I know.
Well, listen, Mr. Jones, you tell me the finance company's not running to the deal. That would be fine.
That's that driving locker. Someday you have to take it.
Well, I had one coming down. Where did I?
Well, what happened?
Well, I was coming around the corner and the car ran right into the direct back on me.
Well, why didn't you keep your hand up?
I couldn't. I was just losing it.
Sir Rocker, do you mind if I bring my brother to dinner with us tonight?
I should say that to that one of the direct ones, that guy. He's so darn honestly. You know, some people are to be done, but he absolutely and the direct uses us securely.
Look here,
Mr.
You can't stand
there
and call my brother
John. Yes, ma'am, if there's only five, but the subject's in the world, you'll be with us. That is all
come up. Well, I don't care. I don't think it's nice of you to talk about my brother that way. Why, he's a hero.
Oh, so he's a hero, huh?
He certainly is.
Well, what did you have to do to be a hero?
He was an aviator during the World War.
Oh, what?
Well, he shot down seven planes, he killed seven men, and a government with seven strikes on his arm.
Oh, I don't mean a thing. My brother only shot down one man and killed him, and the government put strikes all over him. A few minutes later, I'm going to tell you some of the great things in every building took their top hat. A bishop in Panama, no sir. There's one pilot pitch I want to sing for you, and a green arrangement made by Al Jett. So I'll let you just play it now. All right, Victor, I want to ask you something. Isn't it a lovely day?
The weather is lightning, the thunder and the lightning seem to be having their way. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. The turn in the weather will keep us together. So I can honestly say that as far as I'm concerned, it's a lovely day. And everything's okay. Isn't it a lovely day to be high in the rain? You were going on your way, now your struggle remains. Just as you were going, leaving all at sea, the clouds broke. The little battle, what a great one. I can see the sun up high, but it's not in a storm. I can see that you and I will be cozy and warm. Let the rain keep static, but it really doesn't matter if it's fine. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day. Isn't it a lovely day to be high in the rain? You were going on your way, now you're gonna remain. I can see the sun of mine, but it's hard in a storm. I can see that you and I will be cozy and warm. Let the rain keep silent, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
And now I'd like to present one of the most beautiful ladies that ever seen a guest at Chelsea Coast. She's the actress that Howard is great about from the big in Hollywood. The dramas, choirs, and all is unreal. We've seen her in dozens of pictures. We saw her probably
as two valleys. Will you see the scene of the new world order picture, I Live for Love? Tonight, we'll present a short play by Franz Molnar called A Matter of Husband. But first, I want you to meet her in person, Miss Tamara Del Rio. The scene is a drawing room in the apartment of a famous genial actress, played by Miss Del Rio. It is 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and for a long time, a young woman has been sitting there nervously on the edge of her chair. She thinks she likes it. She finally enters from an adjoining room.
Don't you see? Yes. What can I do for you?
Give me back my husband.
Give me back your husband.
Yes. Oh, you're wondering which one he is. He's a blonde man. Not very tall. Very skeptical. He's a lawyer. Your manager's lawyer. After this assessment.
Oh, I have nothing but.
I know you have.
Well, you mustn't mistake my silence or embarrassment. I am at a loss because I don't quite see how I can give you back your husband for not having got him to give.
But you just admit that you knew him.
That's scarcely valid that I have taken him from you.
Of course I know him. He blew up my last contract.
And it seems to me I have seen him once or twice that day. A rather nice-spoken, fair-haired man.
But did you think he wore all his spectacles?
Yes. I don't remember him with spectacles.
He took them off. He wanted to look his best to you. He's in love with you. He never takes them off when I'm around. He doesn't care about you when I'm around. He doesn't love you. I implore you. Give him back to me.
You're wearing such a very foolish young woman. I should be very angry with you. Whatever did you get the idea that I have taken your husband from you?
He sends you flowers all the time.
That's not true.
It is?
It isn't. He never sent me a flower in all his life.
But did he tell you to do it?
No. I found out the flowers. The flowers are sent to your dressing room 3 times a week and charged to him. That's a lie.
Do you mean to say that I am lying?
I mean to say that someone is lying to you.
Then what about this letter?
Letter?
She wrote it to you and to the third people in between.
Did you see the letter? My darling, Master Ender to call for you at the theatre tonight. Urgent business. 1,000 apologies, 10,000 kisses. I said.
Oh, I found it on his desk this morning. He probably meant to send it to the theatre by messenger, but he forgot it. And now I opened it.
You mustn't cry.
Why wasn't I? It's true, I must have been so. Oh, I know how little it means to you, and how easy it is for you. One night you dressed like a royal princess, and the next you dressed like a good servant. You blacken your eyebrows and redden your lips and wax your lashes and tint your face. You have cosmetics and black lights to make you seem beautiful, and altered lines to make you seem witty and wise. No wonder, of course, simple-minded lawyer falls in love with you. I haven't gotten to Shakespeare to write beautiful pieces for me. In reality, you may be not suited to the island. But I admit that when it comes to alluring men, I'm no match for you.
This is a very interesting case.
That is sure.
Why?
What do you mean?
I mean that I never received a flower or a letter or anything else from your husband. Have you seen your husband and your mom rather badly of late?
Of course.
You used to be very affectionate to each other.
Yes.
And of late, you have been quite cold.
Yes. Of course.
It's difficult to. My dear, if you knew how often we actors just meet with this sort of thing, it's perfectly clear that your husband has been playing a little comedy to make you jealous. You are a good interest in him.
Do you really think that? Do you mean to say that everything has happened to you before?
Same with time. It is scarcely a man connected with a theater who doesn't listen to it in that way sometime or another. To regain his wife or some part of the truth, all they need to do is to invent a love affair with one of them. The wife is always so ready to believe it. You really do not know a thing about it. But even when you do know, you don't mind so much. You should have a consolation of knowing that we are the means of making millionaires happy, which might otherwise have a little bit of hope for.
But how could I know?
Oh, you couldn't know, of course. It's impossible. you fancy your husband in an atmosphere of perpetual contrition. One act of discipline is more danger than 100 ordinary women who hate her and fear her. None understand that better than your husband, who is evidently a very cunning lawyer. And so he turns on your fear and jealousy to the only the love you deny him. You write a letter and leave it behind him on the bed. Trust the lawyer never to be that unintentionally. He orders flowers for me in the morning and thoroughly cancels the order the moment he reaches his office. Come to me. Have you seen a lock of my hair?
Yes. In his best drawer.
I don't believe. I thought so. A bride, my hairdresser. The wonder I have any hair left at all.
Is that how we got it?
But I can't imagine how else. Hmm. Haven't you left any of my love letters lying around?
No.
Oh, don't be so alarmed. I haven't written any of them.
But what made you speak?
I might have. If you had come to me frankly and said, I say, Sarah, will you do something for me? My wife and I aren't getting on so well. Could you write me a passionate love letter that I can leave lying around so she may find it? I should certainly have done it for him. I was free like that, but if only anyone played like one. But he had no luck with him. His wife was just a proper person. He returned them all to him, unread.
How clever you are.
How good. I'm neither better nor worse than any other girl in the theatre. Even though you do consider such a monster. I've been a perfect fool.
Well, you do look a bit silly. Standing there with tears in your eyes and your face flushed with happiness because you have discovered that a little young man with a spectacle is lovely after all.
My dear, no man deserves to be adored as much as that.
Only to be almost scared, isn't
it? Yes. Yet I want to give you a parting good advice. Don't let me fool you like this again.
You won't.
Never fear. No matter what you may find in your pocket, letters, handkerchiefs, my photograph. No matter what flowers he sends, or letters he writes, or appointments he makes. Don't mistake him in a second time. You can be sure of that.
Oh, and you won't say anything drastic about my coming here, will you?
Not a word. I'm rather angry with him. For not having come to me frankly, I've asked for permission to use my money.
You're a dear. And I don't know how to thank you.
Now. You mustn't begin crying all over again.
You made me so happy. Goodbye. I'll help you again.
All right, husband. You can commence now. She's gone.
Labor Day. As you know, Labor Day is just a week from this Monday. It gives you an extra long weekend to take a glorious trip in your car. How would you like to get the gasoline for that Labor Day trip at no cost? Of course you'd like to. Well, you can save enough gasoline on your everyday driving between now and Labor Day to take you on a good long trip. Simply use Super Shell. You see, Super Shell cuts down the usual waste on everyday driving. It takes less Super Shell to start your car again after you've made all those stops at the store, the office, the bank, the school, and other places in town. And every time you shift gears, it takes less Super Shell to accelerate your motor so you can slip into high. This is because Super Shell is balanced, just as efficient for starting and accelerating as it is for long, steady driving. By using Super Shell, you can save as much as a cup full of gasoline on every cold stop. You can save up to another cupful on every 10 minutes of rapid accelerating. And since one cupful can carry you a mile, you can easily save enough gasoline during the coming week to take you on a nice trip over Labor Day weekend. Begin tomorrow to get this economy on your everyday driving. Fill up your tank with Super Shell at any of the 30,000 neighboring Shell stations from coast to coast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're all back in Celticoe next Saturday night. What a show we have. We're bringing back one of the hits of the Celticoe season, George Bethel. Then we have Joyce Frederick, the greatest woman doctor who ever lived. Maxine Lewis, that fine young singer. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the terrifying a brilliant green star, Mr. Porter. Oh, remember the date that category, don't forget. The next time you're out while you need gas, drop engineer and shell service agents as I'll go to say from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sister. Thank you, all you brothers. Thank you, memory.
He presents George Jessel, Joyce Ludlow, Maxine Lewis, and Boris Karloff. Musical selections tonight included only a rose from The Vagabond King, You're an Eye Full of Heaven from Bright Light, I Feel a Song Coming On from Every Night at Eight, and Isn't It a Lovely Day, People You Know, Cheek to Cheek, No Strings, Top Hat, White Tie, and Tails from Top Hat. Listen back, your announcer. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the National Broadcasting Company.